Spring fathers, so I say congratulations to those of you who are out there that are fathers and have reared children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I trust, is the way we're supposed to do it. I have two beautiful daughters and one ugly one. No, just two beautiful ones. No boys. I gave up after two. I said, that's it. No. Can't keep trying until you get the right one. It's a beautiful day. I'm glad that you're here. I trust you've had a great week and you're ready to worship with us. I invite you to stand as we start our service together. We're going to start with prayer and then some great hymns and songs. So let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this morning, for the health that we have to be here. You got each one of us safe here. You've given us the health to be able to come and fellowship with other Christians. You've given us voices to sing to you. You've given us a mind to come and hear your word and understand more about your love for us and your desires for us. Things that sometimes we take for granted, but we don't want to do that. We want to recognize that every perfect gift comes from the Father above, that you says lavish your grace and your mercy on us just because you love us. Help us to recognize that, and as we sing, to sing like we believe that, and as we hear your word, to think in our hearts and be reminded again how blessed we are to be your children, that you love and protect and provide for. Thank you for your Spirit living in us that allows us to do all these things. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we got some great hymns. We're going to start with one. All of history is divided right down where Jesus was born, right? You have B.C., before Christ, and A.D. in the year of our Lord. That's the way all of history is remembered, because when Jesus came, the world changed forever. And your life is B.C. and A.D., right? It was a time before you accepted Christ. And now that you have accepted Jesus, you're living in the year of our Lord. This hymn talks about that. The difference in your life, what a wonderful change in my life has come since Jesus came into my heart.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which are many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. There's a goal to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Steve's talking about serving God in our old age. So no matter how old you are, whether you are young, there's some of y'all are whippersnappers out there. The rest of us are getting on in years. But all of our life should be glorifying God in everything that we do, especially in our speech. Everybody should be all the time praising God for all the things that he does for us. It's a great hymn. Glory to his name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. Then to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. Oh, precious crown of peace that saves from sin, I am so glad I have been turned in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of mine. Glory to his name. Come to this house. Thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, wipe it today and be made complete. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of mine. Glory to his name.
Thank you. May be seated. So I'm not sure exactly how old Paul was when he was finally martyred, but it was, I think, probably in his late 60s, if not somewhere around there. One of the last things, books that he ever wrote was the book of Timothy, and one of the last things that he wrote in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy was that he had fought the good fight, he had finished the course, he had done everything God wanted him to do, and he was ready to leave. That's an amazing testimony for all of us to think about our lives, and hopefully for each of us when we get close to the end of when God has numbered our days, we can say, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. And along with Paul, we're promised that there's laid up for us awards, rewards for serving Jesus Christ. I have fought the good fight.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course.
great reminder in fighting that fight and living for Christ. There's going to be tough times, good times, and we praise him in the midst of all of those. It's a great reminder of that, this hymn. As long as you are glorified, I'm going to take your blessings, the hard times, the good times, the tears, everything that God gives us as from his hand. Steve is sharing on serving God in our old age. God gave me a song some time ago. It's been a long time since I sang it here. Steve Phelps and I, it says 2020, so I guess it's been about 4 years. Steve and I, when he was still here, did this one time. But it's taken from Psalm 90, the psalm that Moses wrote, and having lived 120 years, I guess he realized life is short. That seems long to me, but time passes very, 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 very quickly. And the Bible talks about our life. So if 1,000 years with God is but a day, most of us live just a couple of hours as far as our life goes. But the Bible says your life is like, describes as a passing shadow, a sigh, a tale that's told, and a vapor. How many of y'all when you were kids used to go, when it was real cold, and just blow and watch your breath become a vapor out in front of you, and then it's gone? That's a great image of what life's all about. Life is short, passing shadow. Life is short, a passing shadow. Life is short, our years a sigh. God has numbered all our days here. Soon they're gone, off we fly. Life is short, it's but a vapor. Life is short, a tale that's told. We must live each day for Jesus, whether we are young or old. A 1,000 years within God's sight are but a yesterday, or like a watch into the night that quickly fleets away. To Him our years are morning grass, springs up new each day. By evening it has faded out, withered all away. Life is short, a passing shadow. Life is short, our years a sigh. God has numbered all our days here. Soon they're gone, off we fly. Life is short, it's but a vapor. Life is short, a tale that's told. We must live each day for Jesus, whether we are young or old. Teach us, Lord, to look to You, to number all our days, that we may give a heart to You of wisdom and of praise. Satisfy us in the morning with Your loving grace. We will sing with joy and gladness for all of our days. Life is short, a passing shadow. Life is short, our years a sigh. God has numbered all our days here. Soon they're gone, off we fly. Life is short, it's but a vapor. Life is short, a tale that's told. We must live each day for Jesus, whether we are young or old.
Thinking about doing that song, and I realized just in November I went to my 50th high school reunion. I'm like, whoa, life is short, buddy, and it's passing very, very soon. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 78, the first 8 verses. If you brought a Bible with you, you'd like to turn and follow along. If not, there may be or should be a Bible in the pew in front of you that you can follow along as well, or if you just want to simply listen to the Word of God being read. Psalm 78, the first 8 verses. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Let's pray. Father, I am thankful for parents who instructed me in your word, who made sure that I went to a church that taught your word, that I knew who you were, who Jesus was, what he did for me. I thank you that you've blessed me with children and given me the opportunity to teach them that as well. And if they have children, or if not, just others, that they will continue to teach that to others, who will teach it to others, who will teach it to others. You've always had your word continue. You've always had parents who've had the opportunity and the privilege to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank you for all those who are here who have done that, parents who have reared their children according to your word, never in vain. Pray that as we listen this morning, as your children, we would hear you speak to us and continue to teach us, because we never know it all and we never remember everything. We need to be reminded again and again of your holiness, of your love for us, of your mercy and grace, of the promises that you've given to us, of the blessings that you've poured on us, of the commandments that you've given us to live for you. Use your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you all here on this Father's Day. For those of you here who are fathers, happy Father's Day. I know there are a few of you here, and many of you here were talking about being up in age. I know for most of you here, your fathers have gone on and have passed away. I understand that. I was just thinking of my story, and I thought of just two words. I thought of God's sovereignty and then God's mercy. And I was talking to my brother the other day, and my mom did all this genealogy stuff, and he's going to send, it's a 3-page document that my mom wrote about my dad's side, and it was back in 1850 when Peter Hogan came from Tipperary County in Ireland, came out east someplace, and got married to, I think it was Jane or Jenny Hogan, and had a number of sons. James and Edwards were the first two. And Edwards then had Harley. Harley was my grandfather, born around 1900. Then Harley had my father, James, around 1927. Met up with my mom, Rita, Dan, someplace up in northwest Iowa, and around the late 40s, and they got married and had all these children. So that's what happened. And but God is sovereign. And I've told you the story. My father was ill with, really, and this shocked me about a month ago, and I found the same exact ailment that Giovanni's got. But they didn't have the meds for it back in early 60s and things, and God took them. So, but anyway, but after that time, you know, the Lord gave me a heavenly father. It's his, you know, the Lord gave me himself, a heavenly father. So the mercy of God, the sovereignty of God, the mercy of God. But I was just struck by that because I really think, you know, all the genetics and genes and all the things that happened way back through all my lineage and yours too, God knew exactly what he was doing with each one of us, just the way we are and how things happened and how things didn't happen maybe the way we wanted to, but and indeed we trust God that he is good and that he is sovereign. Psalm 92:14 says, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall still be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright and that he is my rock. Most of us in this church are older. We're in our 50s, 60s, 70s, oh, and some here are older than that. And so today we're talking about a very important subject, the subject of living for God when we are older, when we are up in years. And last week we talked about how there are basic things that Christians that we need to know and do no matter how old we are, whether we're younger or middle aged or older. There are basic things that we all as Christians need to apply to our lives. And these basic things for Christians never change. I was thinking of the basketball example. I think I mentioned the baseball example last week. Basketball, you know, the players need to know how to dribble and shoot and pass and rebound, the basic things. They need to do those things. And as long as they're playing basketball, they need to keep doing the basics. That's it, what it is, what's it about. So for us, we're Christians, you know, and we're always saved by God's grace. And we're to always then do the basics for our entire lives. And that's what I talked about last week. Talked about three basic areas for a Christian. And really there's more than this, but, you know, I'm going to just try to do it in one message. Last week we talked about first about knowing God, knowing who he is and knowing what he is like, and also then trusting him and obeying him. We talked about the need for God's word. You all know this. As people, we all change, but God's word never changes. So no matter how old we are, God's word is still the same. We've talked about how we have the same truths that we need to know, the same commands that we are to obey, the same promises that we are to believe. And we talked again about the utmost importance of worshiping God, of praising him and thanking him and singing to him. Psalm 147, I believe, says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming." And so, real simple, those three basics. And today we want to talk about some specific things that relate to those who are older. In some ways, these areas might be sort of general, but there are specifics. And the first is this, that older Christians, as older Christians, we have more life experiences, a lot more life experiences, different situations, problems, a lot more relationships, a lot more trials that come up. We have all these different things taking place, and they should... We should then, because of our experiences alone, be wiser, be more spiritually mature. Just on experience alone, we've gone through so many things with the Lord. And I say should be mature, but not everybody grows like they should. That is, some people are physically older, but they're not spiritually mature like they should be. You know what I mean? But what are some of the experiences of us who are older? And I'm going to, again, make this very general here. First, he's seen God at work. This is paramount. He has seen God at work in his life and his lives of others. He has seen, as I've talked about before, Psalm 103, verse 7, he's seen the acts of God and the ways of God. He has seen God do hundreds and hundreds of things in his life and in the lives of others. And by putting these things together, then he sees the ways of God. Such an important thing that we ought to be doing. Spiritually speaking, then, he's connected the dots, so he sees then a smooth, continuous line. This line, smooth, continuous line, then, it represents the ways of God in his life. That's what we're talking about. Ways of God, then, that really speaks of God's overall purpose and working with us. So I think, I was just trying to summarize my life, and I could take a long time in this, but just in a minute here, the last 25 years, I have seen God then be sovereign over my life. Many different examples of acts of God that, man, God was sovereign. I've seen how God has humbled me many different times in different ways. I won't go through all those, but he has kept me humble. I've seen how God has given me work to do, different things to do. Same overall thing, but there's a lot of specifics there. And I've also seen that God has given me relationships, all kinds of people, relationships, particularly, of course, here in the church, but others as well. And this has been important. And finally, then, God gets the glory. So that's a simple way for me to summarize the ways of God in my last 25 years. But that's what God wants all of us to do, to see the acts of God and the works of God. And we need to be ones who are looking to see what God is doing. Oftentimes, we might think, oh, God's not doing anything, which is a terrible thing for us to think. Or say, God's not doing anything. What do you mean? It means you're not looking for the work of God, whether it's in your life or the lives of others. So anyway, the works of God, the ways of God. Second, he has seen God's character over the years. And hopefully you all can say this. What I'm saying are just basic things. He's seen God's forgiveness, and goodness, and holiness, and love. He's seen that God has been patient with him. I've seen that. He's seen that God has given him the power to do what he is to do. He's seen that God then has given him good things and a good church. And might you say that? Because if as a Christian you can't say categorically that God is good, you're not thinking right. Okay, God's good, and he's been good, and he has worked all things together for good. These are simple, important things. Third, he's had many trials. If you look back over your life, many trials you've had. You all could say you've had many trials, right? Many trials. Maybe you who are younger could say that. I see my daughter smiling here, so. Many trials. And then you have learned to rejoice in these trials, as it says in James 1. You've learned to give thanks for these trials. You have learned to be at peace when you go through these trials. You've learned to persevere as you go through these trials, as it says in Psalm 23, even though we go through the valley, the difficult valley, whether it's a week-long or a year-long or a five-year-long valley, we've all had these valleys. Persevere. And you've learned lessons from these trials, and specifically many lessons, specifically the lesson of trusting God. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, you have to understand, Steve was talking about the age of Paul. And he was in his 60s someplace. I don't know exactly. Nobody knows exactly, but someplace in his 60s. And Peter was probably in his 60s too when he died, but he wrote these books, 1st and 2nd Peter, clear at the end of his life. He wrote 1st Peter probably 64, 65 A.D., 2nd Peter maybe 2 or 3 years later. But 1st Peter chapter 1, and you read this in view of the fact when Peter wrote this, he was towards the end of his life, okay? He is speaking from experience. And so what does he say? He starts off verse 3. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Big picture there. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. All big picture. He understood the big picture of his life. Then he goes on, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though retested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of thoughts there, but the one I want to mention is faith. Peter had gone through many trials. Remember the one, this one, way back when Jesus was alive there? And what did Jesus say to Peter? Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, yet I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. I'm sure Peter remembered that. He never forgot that lesson. He never forgot how, you know, he denied the Lord there. He never forgot it. But there's no doubt when he says that faith, he's thinking of how God has helped him to trust him through the years. 30, 35 years we're talking about here. Go to 2 Peter. It's interesting here. This is, he's probably wrote this 67, 68 A.D. It says in verse 2, 2 Peter 1, 2, grace and peace to be multiplied, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What's the first thing he says there? You need to know God. And again, he's speaking from all this experience. And then you go to the last verse of this book, 2 Peter 3, what's he say? His conclusion, the last thing he wrote, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So he's talking about, you know, faith, and he's also talking about knowing God. And you see here, too, he's talking about God's grace. He's also talking about God's glory. So I say this because we need to see, what was Peter like? What would he say to us? This is the thing he said because he wrote it for us. This is what he would tell us in terms of how we then are to be ones who are living. So we're talking about different experiences that we have as Christians. He's had many relationships with people, right? You've had many relationships. And people that God's wanted you to learn to love and to be patient with, to speak the truth to speak lovingly to, and at times to correct those who are in sin. We're talking about the relationships that God has had you in. But let me say something that's very important as you go through life. You've got relationships, and it's important for you to think about the relationships that God has given you, because God is sovereign. He has them for reasons. It's also important that you learn from the relationships of others. That as you see two other people out there, you learn from that. You're just observing. You may never talk about what's going on, but you just sort of watch. You learn about life from the relationships that you have with people, and also the relationships that you see that others have. That's what I'm saying. Fifth, he's applied God's word. As a Christian who is older, this should be true for every one of you. You've applied God's word to your life. God is, that first there's the truth to know that God is loving. Very important. God is loving. God's loved you through all your whole life. God is holy. God is good, as I said before. That's the truth you just know and believe. Then there's the commands to obey, and there's so many I could give you, but the command to love one another, the command to be holy, the command to pray. Thirdly, there are promises that you need to believe. Promise of Psalm 23:6, you all know this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Hopefully you've applied that. As you go through the day, says, well, how did I see God's love for me today? And I've told you this before in the past. When you get to the end of the day, are you thinking about how God has shown his love to you? And he does. That's what that verse says. And then there's that verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The promise being that last phrase. The first promise, Psalm 23, is unconditional. God loves you today no matter what you do. The second promise is conditional. You trust, and then you'll see him work things out for your life, okay? He will make your path straight. I'm not saying he doesn't work things out, but you'll see it clearly. You trust him, and you have the promise from God that he'll work everything out. He'll make your path straight. So all these experiences then have helped this person, and I'm talking to you here too, have helped him to grow and become more mature. And so I trust this is true for your life. And these are just a few things. I could probably say a lot more, but these, the relationships and the acts of God, the character of God, the word of God, all these things are important for you. I'm talking again about you being mature at this stage in your life. And so then how you live today then relates to how you lived in the past. What you are and what you do is connected to the past, is built on the past. You cannot separate who you are today from what you were in the past. You can't. It all builds. God's continuous God. He keeps working. He knows the end from the beginning, okay? So here you are, older, and God has plans for you. God has work for you to do. Indeed, he is working. The second thing I want to talk about is purpose. And I've talked about this before, but this is, again, paramount for us as Christians. Jeremiah 29:11, you know the verse. God says, I know the plans I have for you. In John 4:34, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. God's will for Jesus was for him to do the work that God wanted him to do. That's it. That was it. Jesus was to do what God wanted him to do. That was all. And he knew that. That was on his mind. That was definitely on his mind. And so, too, God's will for you, simply put, is to do his work. And I've said this before. God has special work for each one of you. You are a very unique individual. This is, and I've said this, I'm repeating myself here. I am so motivated by the fact that I know that God has special work for me to do and that he is not yet finished with me. I am motivated to no end. Okay? Might you be motivated? God has work for me to do. It's unique work. It's special work. We're all different. Different situations, different jobs, different families. God has work for you to do. There is no doubt about that. It says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God created or planned beforehand. So always remember that. There's something else. I saw this verse about a year ago, and it's really helped me a lot. Because when we talk about the work of God, you have to, with the work of God, you got to think about the commands of God. That is, the commands that God gives you relates to the work he wants you to do. So he says, love one another. Well, that's part of the work God has for you to do. To pray for one another, that's part of the work he wants you to do. It's pretty simple here, okay? But this verse, I like this. This is Psalm 119:43. It says, trouble and distress have come upon me. That is, I'm going through a trial. I don't like it. It's hard. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. So the point is this. It's like that, I think it's Nehemiah 5, and Nehemiah's being hassled by the enemy. He's up on the wall doing the work and says, I'm not getting down off this wall. I'm going to keep going, even though you guys are hating me and blaspheming me and slandering me. The point is, when you go through tough times, that's one of the devil's way to distract you. I can't do this. This is hard. I got to just sit down. And when you're going through tough times, you keep doing the work of God. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. That really helps me. That really helped me because I know the devil wants me to slow down, wants to stop, but I know God wants me to keep going. That doesn't mean you might not have to make adjustments in view of this trial that you're going through, but in general, the whole thought, I'm going to keep serving God even when it is hard, even when there is trouble and distress. That's what I am to do. John 17:4, Jesus said to his Father, I brought you glory by completing the work that you gave me to do, which I think would be a pretty good epitaph, really. You want to write something on your tombstone? I brought you glory by completing the work you gave me to do. Indeed, Jesus knew the work God wanted him to do, and he finished it. He completed it. That's great truth. 2 Timothy 4:7, you sang the song. What we didn't sing was the phrase that comes right before what I'm going to say. Paul says, the time of my departure has come. Of course, we all know, none of us know when we're going to die. Okay, we all understand that. But the point is this, is we can have a sense that things are getting closer. And so for all of us here who, let's say, are in your 70s or 80s or 90s, think, man, it's not that far away, okay? I think I told you this, but if you consider, I got a picture. It's about this size at my house. And the top, you know, part of the picture, let's say it's this long. I have a stone that's sitting right here. And that stone represents where I'm at in life. I've gone through 70 years, and I got maybe 8-10 years to go. I don't know, but let's say. So it's there. It really, whoa. Wow, that's not much left. It's just sitting there every day. I see it on top of this frame, this picture. Life, indeed, as Steve saying, is short. The time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. The word course is also translated as race. And you think about your life as a race. God gave Paul a race to finish, and he finished it. He didn't stop halfway through. On a 4-mile, 4-lap race, he didn't stop at lap 2 and say, oh, that's it, I'm done. No, he finished. That's important for you to think about that God wants you to finish the race he has put you in. It says in Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. That meaning there are encumbrances, things that may not necessarily be sins, outright sins, but they're encumbering you. They're sort of keeping you from doing all God wants. And each of you probably sort of know what kind of things aren't sin, but is this an encumbrance? Lay aside the encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles you, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. A very important phrase there. At this point in time, however old you are, let us run the race that is still set before us these last 10 years from me, or 15, or whatever it's going to be. Let's keep running. Keep running. And we're going to talk about what that means next week, or not 2 weeks from now, because we get tired, and we get sort of worn out, and we don't always feel so good. What does it mean to run when you really feel not so good? Okay, we're going to go through those things, but I'm just saying, run the race that is still set before you, because if you are alive, I think you're all alive here today. Well, I know you're alive. You're not done. You are not done yet. Acts 20:24, Paul said, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Again, the word course, I just said it means race. And the word ministry, which means area of service. Ministry, your area of service, specific ways that God wants you to serve him. That's what we're saying here. And so Paul then, he was determined. I mean, those are phenomenal verses, that 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Paul was determined to finish the race, to carry out the work that God wanted him to do everything. He was determined. He was indeed a very, very passionate person. Then there's David. Acts 13:36, David, after he had served God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep. Y'all know what fall asleep means, right? Spiritually speaking, it means he died. He died when he was 70, okay? He had been king for 40 years, and many more things besides that took place in his life. But God gave David a purpose in his, and David finished it. That's what happened. And David died only after he finished the work that God wanted him to do. And from a sovereign point of view, we can say this for each of you, you're only going to die and leave this earth after you finish the work that God wants you to do. I say that from a sovereign point of view because none of us are perfect and we mess up sometimes, we sin, we understand that. And so, again, the importance of seeing that God has work for you to do. And there's no doubt then that God has a purpose for every Christian, and it's a lifelong purpose. We see it with believers in the Bible, and this is true for each one of you. But I want to share, the whole last part of this time is talking about thoughts that specific thoughts that relate to the purpose that God has for you, okay? First of all, first point, you may retire from working at a physical job where you make money to meet your physical needs, right? That's, we all understand that. But you should never retire from working for God, where you gain eternal rewards. Important to understand that point too. Now you can be deceived and think that, hey, if I'm retiring from a physical job, that means, I'm going to retire from working for God. Or you might, probably wouldn't say that. So I'm going to slow up a little bit, take it easy a little bit. Man, all my friends are, all these people out there, and you might have unbelievers that are definitely taking it easy. But there's believers out there, man, they're going on cruises and they're doing this and they're doing that. And man, there's, well, this heaven seemed like a good old time. And so here as Christians, God tells us that we are to keep then serving him. Yeah, you might slow down a little bit in the pace. We're going to talk about pace a little bit next week or 2 weeks from now. That may be true. But the whole principle of keeping on working for him is true. That verse, you know this verse, to live as Christ, to die as gain. Now, I'm not going to debate this here, but think about the word live. Does that mean to physically live as Christ? Or does that mean to spiritually live as Christ? Or does it mean both? I'm not sure. I think I'm going to say both, okay? So as long as you are physically alive, you should be spiritually living for Christ. Let me say it that way. As long as you are physically alive, you should be spiritually working for Christ. So there's that verse. But there's many other verses. We've talked about some today, and there's others that you're to keep working for God till the day you die. The examples we talked about last week of all these different godly men. I mean, we talk about Abraham. We talk about Moses. We talk about David. They're just, you can't miss them. Paul, Peter. Next point is this, is the work you do for God should relate to building God's kingdom, to building the church. The verses, these simple verses, seek first the kingdom of God is a verse that should be true for you to your entire life. The truth in Matthew 16:18 that Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against me. You are to work with Christ in building the church. Or the verse, the end of Matthew 28:19-20, go make disciples of all the nations. Again, we're to work with Christ in carrying out these things. So when you read those verses or any verses, there's no time limit given with respect to these verses, which means then that you're to live and work for God your entire life. So these are life verses, okay? Again, this is pretty basic, but it's important to understand because I tell you, I'm affected by this. You talk to people. I mean, when you're in your 70, most people are retired by this age. I'm not saying you can't retire at 62, 63, whenever. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm affected. I do think about it sometimes. Well, maybe I should sort of take it easy and stop doing this, but I'm here. God has not led me to do that. So the point is this, again, is that we are to be serving the Lord and doing the work that he wants us to do. The next point is the work you do for God often and usually relates to the spiritual gift that God has given you. You think about godly people that you know or godly people in this country. You think about what they're doing, and it relates to their spiritual gift, okay? It might be serving. It might be praying. It might be leading. It might be teaching or something else, any one of those things. So think about that. I mean, I know I have the gift of teaching God gave me, so my work relates to this. That's what it is, okay? Others of you have maybe the gift of serving or the gift of faith, which relates to prayer. There's lots of different things. The second thing I want to say here is this, is that your spiritual gift may change over the course of time. My example is back in 1993, about 40 years ago, and I was in a big church. There's five of us as pastors. There's 700 people, you know, and a big auditorium. And I never taught, okay? The other guys taught. I was doing this and doing that. I mean, I did all kinds of ministries, you know, in those 10-year time from when I moved from Iowa to Maryland from 83 to 93. But then we decided, hey, let's start another church. And so there's other pastor and I, and there's 300 of us, we start another church. But I have to say one thing. I want to say it accurately. I did finally teach about 2 weeks before I left, okay? And you know what I taught on? The rapture. I loved that. Was 30-plus years ago, and I loved that subject. That's what I taught on. But the amazing thing is I started teaching, and I found out, man, God had given me a gift. This is really something. I liked doing what I was doing, and people said they liked that I was teaching. I thought, wow. So the point is this. Things can change. Things can change. And so much relates to need because, hey, there's more of a need for another teacher, pastor, not like before, the 10 years before, but now there was. So that's what God did for me and can do for you as well. Next point is this. You may have more time to serve God now that you are older than when you're younger. Now, I'm not saying, please understand, I'm not saying that your secular job that you worked at or are working at is not spiritual, because every physical job you have is spiritual in nature, okay? I'm not saying that. And so you can serve God at whatever kind of job that he gives you in terms of one where you're making money financially, say. What I'm saying is that you may have more time to be devoted to serving in a specific way. That's specific spiritual way. That's what I'm saying. You may have more time. Well, you're not doing this physical job. You've got retirement money saved up, and oh, I can be more devoted to, you know, spiritual areas here. That's what I want you to understand here. Fifth point is the Bible tells us a few general things that we are to do as older Christians. Psalm 92:15 we read last week, a couple weeks ago too. We're to yield fruit. That is, we're to have an effect on other people. This is what God wants. We are to have an effect on other people. We are to have a positive and godly influence on the lives of others, whether it's believers or whether it's unbelievers. That's what God wants, okay? We talk about this, and you've all heard these thoughts here before, just to repeat. We talk about the things that we do when we talk about the things we say, that is, we can affect people by what we do and by what we say. And I really believe it's true that, well, I'm watch how I say this, but in some ways, you could say that you affect people more by what you do, by your actions, than by your speech. Okay? That is, you're telling them something to do, but your actions sure don't relate to what you're telling them to do. Your character, your example is huge. Huge. How you live your life. So let's say somebody sees you, you know, and they know you've known you for years, and you turn 65 and you retire from your physical job and you just stop serving the Lord. So, well, what kind of example is that? That crushes your whole testimony right there. Okay? He retired from everything. No, you keep serving God. They see that. They can't miss your actions. Okay? So it's very, very important that you realize that. Next, we're to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. So it says we're to speak about the Lord, and specifically what's it say here, that he is upright, that he is holy, that he is a righteous person, and we can also say that he made me righteous, and that he does what is right, okay? In life, he's always doing what is righteous, okay? Whether it's me or with the others, the world, whatever it might be. And then he says this, he says, he is my rock, our strength, the one who gives me the strength to do what God wants. So to put those two phrases together, we could say this: God makes me righteous, so that by his strength, then, I can live a life of righteousness, okay? That's how you put it together. God is righteous. He makes me righteous. So now I can live a righteous life. That's the point there. That's what we're saying. Psalm 71:18 says, even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. That's a powerful verse for you who are older. You should have that written down or memorized, put up on your wall someplace. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all to come. Now here the focus is on strength, okay, on power. And the point is this, is we're to declare to people how God has strengthened us, how God has helped us to get through life, just to make it through the mundane things, how God has helped us to get through trials, how God has helped them to serve him, given us the strength to do what he wants. That is, we're giving their credit and glory to God for how he has used us, and because God, by his Spirit and grace, works in and through us. That's the point. That's where to declare. So we do something, and you know, maybe it turned out pretty good, and you can be tempted. Man, look what I did. I really did a good job there. You know, you understand that temptation, I believe. You never give credit to yourself. It's God always working through you. It is for his glory. We all understand that. So, 78, 1 to 8. Steve read that. I'm not going to read it again. I will. I want to read two verses, two key verses that I want you to go back to. In terms of purpose, this really outlines for you what I believe, my opinion, what I believe is the most important thing for you who are older. These two things, verses 4 and 5. It's all verse 8, but I'm just going to give you the heart of it here. Verse 4, Psalm 78. 4 says, "We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done." So what are we to tell the generation to come? The works of God. Okay. Verse 5, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children." Teach what? The word of God. The commands of God. Okay, that's it. So what we're saying is this. We're to teach people the word of God. Or to teach people, share with people the works of God. And this is, in my opinion, one of the most important things that you can do as an older Christian, is to tell the younger people the works of God and the Word of God. That's it. In fact, I'm going to give you your assignment now, okay? It's going to do it at the end. I'll give it now. What you need to do, and I cannot make you do it, I would strongly encourage every one of you to take one page or two pages, piece of paper, and write down what words you would share with younger people. What are the main truths? It could be 3 or 4 verses, 4 or 5. And what works of God you have seen him do in your life or in your family or in this world that you want to share with them as well. This is what God tells you to do. The older generation, you tell younger generation two things, God's works, in God's word. You got it? And if you forget everything else from this message, don't forget that. You are alive because you are to tell others about God, his works, and his word. That's what you are to do. And in conjunction, it says there, we're to be thanking and praising God for the work that he does. That is, we are to be with the younger people, giving credit and glory to God, because it's he, the one that does it. He gave us his word. He does works through us. That's important, okay? So, if you're an older Christian, you have lots of experience, and you want to pass that on to the younger people. That's what you are to do. And telling the younger generation both the works of God and the words of God, and this is what Psalm 78 says then, will then inspire in them faith, trust, looking to God, and obedience to God. And what's so interesting, you read Psalm 78, and yet an introduction, 8-9 verses or so. Then you have the rest, and man, the Israelites did bad. They really kept sinning. And I don't know, because it doesn't say it explicitly, but I wonder if that older generation of people going into the promised land didn't keep telling their children the words of God and the works of God. They're so consumed with everyday life, and they didn't talk about what God had done for them. They didn't talk about God's works and God's words. This isn't critical. Oftentimes what happens, parents, others, preachers can do this too, and I probably make mistakes here. We really need to tell people, yes, the word of God, but you've got to tell them the works in conjunction with that. They go together. Why should I think about the word of God? You haven't told me how God's doing anything. You tell people how God is working in conjunction. You tell them about the words of God. Both are critically important. So, your assignment, what is it? You don't need to do it in a day. You can take a week or two. Write what should you tell. And then start doing it. If you've not done that yet to the younger generation, whether it's your children or your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, you need to do it. or others that you know. That's what God wants. And what's often true, it seems, at least my wife and I have this experience a little bit, it seems like when you're on younger people and you're nice to them, they tend to listen to you, okay? I'm not saying perfectly so, not in every case, but there is some people who respect the older people. If you say something to them, they're not going to jump all over you. They'll listen sometimes. Not all the time, but they will. So it's a good thing to use the fact that you are older in a righteous and good, godly way and tell people both the works of God and the works of God. Finally, what are some examples of what you might do as an older Christian? Again, just this is pretty general. First, you can pray. This is one of the most important things you can do. We said this before. As you're older, you do not have the physical energy that you had when you're younger. You just don't. I don't care what you say. You can be in really good shape. You don't. You don't. Okay. Here's Anna, 84. You think she was strong as when she was in 20? This is Luke chapter 2 there. She was preaching away and praying day and night in the temple. You got spiritual energy. As I said last week, you should be more mature now that you're older than any other time of your life. That's the way it should be. If you're 70, if you're 80, you should have great maturity because of your life experiences, because of your faith. You've seen God come through. You've heard the word preached hundreds of times. That raises the prayer. You should be praying. And, you know, Jesus, you know the stories. He would come after the disciples and others. Oh, you have little faith. As believers at our age, older, we should be ones with at least faith, if not great faith. We've got so much God's done. And to not believe God now when you've seen him come through time and time and time again is unbelief. It is not good. So might God sort of chastise you if you're doubting him at your age? Because you've seen so many wonderful, wonderful things happen in your life. So you can pray, you can serve in the church, you can help out in the church some way, you can help out with other people, it could be unbelievers in the block or family members, whoever, serving that whole area. I'm giving you real general points here, but God wants us all to be servants, okay? So you think, well, how can I serve somebody in some way? And there's all kinds of things you can do. I'm not going to go into details here, but you can serve. Next, you may want to be in a Bible study, whether it's with believers or unbelievers. And if you're interested in doing that, let me know. And myself, Giovanni, Bruce, we'll help you if you want to be in a Bible study, okay, with others in your neighborhood, wherever. You may have more time to reach out to the lost, to be sharing the gospel with them. And each of you should, and we need to get more. I'm working on that, more tracks, but you need to be one. Yes, I want to share the gospel, even if it's passing out a tract to somebody at a store. Or last week I was at the doctor's office. Doctor's office. It was the ear doctor. Okay, never really seen the ear doctor, and just checking things out. I've had some dizziness, so go there. So I talked to the doctor over there at Morsani Center, sometimes you're a little bit, yeah, this is a doctor, you know. And so what Marsh and I do, we give out blog cards, okay, the thing about the prophecy, that's what we do, and it relates to the gospel, of course. But so I gave it to him, and he says, you know, this is my specialty. I know what your specialty is. He was an ear doctor. This is my specialty. I love prophecy. You can read this. And he says, you know, I read the Bible every day. So he might be a Christian, a guy from Lithuania, encouraging. Then I was going out, and there's the nurse there and her partner, and I was talking to her and gave them a couple cards, you know, and then walking out again to the person at the front desk and gave her one, you know. Marsh and I do this all the time. We just love to give out those blog cards or tracts or whatever. And he ought not be afraid. What's he be afraid of? You got the truth. You love him. You smile at him and, you know, give him this and then say, have a good day. You know, never know how God's going to use it, okay? So that point is important. If you have grandchildren, you may spend time with your grandchildren. You may babysit them or you may try to build them up. Like I said before, what are the two things you need to tell the younger generation, and particularly if you have grandchildren? The works of God and the words of God, and you want to share stories. I know my grandfather shared stories, but he wasn't a Christian. He was always sharing stories. My one grandfather did, the other one didn't, but the one, he shared story after story after story, and I heard the same thing again and again. You need to have these stories of whatever it means. It might go back 50 years or 60 years or whatever. You need to have stories. You need to have the word of God that you're passing on to others. So I'm talking here about your children, your grandchildren. There's one more thing I want to say as we finish up here. When you're older, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself. Say, God, here I am. I'm older, a little bit tired, feel a little beat up sometimes, but Lord, here I am. I give myself to you. Use me in whatever way you want. And God's not a harsh taskmaster. He knows what you're like. He knows your frame. He has compassion on you. He will then lead you. But it's a matter of being willing and humble to do whatever he says. And he will then use you for who you are and the experience you have in his own way. That's what he will do. But being humble like this and being willing to do what God wants is a key then for God opening doors of service for you, okay? Well, there's more to say. A couple more weeks. Steve's going to share, and I'm going to... This is going to be a good message. Jesus, our example. We talk about our example. We should be examples. Our best number one example in the whole world, of course, is Christ. It's outlined. He's got a lot to say, I'm sure, next week about him being our example, to learn from him. Then after that, two more weeks on this. But I'll be talking about the importance of perseverance, the importance of hope, the importance of staying humble, the importance of getting rest, both spiritually and physically, the importance of being strong when you're weak, the importance of seeing God is sovereign, and of course, the importance of staying close to God, plus many other things. There's so much to be said on this, really, I think, an important subject here. I want to just read Hebrews 11 to finish. So y'all remember your assignment, right? This is important. This is God commanding you. I'm just trying to help you, a simple way to write it down so it sticks in your head. You don't forget it. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16. Most everybody in this chapter 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. Sometimes I call it the Hall of Hope because they had hope. We're ones who live to an older age, okay? We go to verse 13. All these died in faith. They died, okay? Talk about Abraham and Sarah and many others before. Without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. We've talked about this here before. God has plans for you. God has a future hope. You're here on earth? You haven't seen it yet. You might die like these men and women in faith. Well, things are coming, but it's not here yet, okay? He's died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them, having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. This world is not our world. It's the devil's run this world. Indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We bless you for the words you give us and living for you and keeping going for you, Lord. Being strong, it says be strong in the Lord, which means be strong whatever age you are. Not talking about physical strength, but spiritual strength. So help us, Lord. Each one of us, we're all at different stages, different places, different ages, but most of us here are older. Help us, oh God, to keep living for you. Help us to be ones who love you and trust you, are still doing the basics, that is knowing your word, Lord, and knowing your commands and your promises and having this relationship with you and being ones who are praising you and thanking you. God, help us. These are essential, foundational for continuing on with you. But today we talk about a few more specifics. We have these life experiences that we are to dwell on and think about, and that should really help us to keep going. We also have purpose. We have work to do. We're not done. Maybe just a few years. Maybe 5 or 10 or 15 or 20. Who knows? For us who are older, that is. We don't know. But just help us to really be excited about the fact that you want to use us in a way that it's not making money, but man, it piles up eternal rewards and it gives glory to you. What a wonderful opportunity we have to know you, to love you, to serve you, to give praise and glory to you. But I do pray for each one here. Strengthen us, encourage us. Some of us are down. Some of us get discouraged. You know, we just feel sad about things. Lord, help us. Help us by your word, by your grace, by fellowship, by the love of others, by your love for them, through working through your spirit and through your word. Help them, God, to be strong in you. We thank you again for how much you do love us, lead us. Help us again to walk by faith, not by sight. We live in a world that, as we all can see, is going downhill fast, which means our light should shine brighter than ever before. Help us not to be dismayed or upset by what's going on. We've had many good years, and those who were born 60, 70, 80 years ago says, wow, this country has really gone down, and it has. But Lord, help us to focus on the truth. Help us to focus on what is true and right, on the gospel. Help us to see that we're serving you, and spiritual work here is what is most important. But thank you again for this church. Thank you for each one here. Just again, help us to love you, to trust you. Protect us. We ask for your protection. We are attacked by the enemy, each one of us. I'm convinced was attacked this past week in some way, tempted by the devil to think this way or that way, to do this or do that, whatever. Help us, Lord, to be strong in you, to keep going, to be resilient, to have that belt of truth girded around our loins as we're instructed in Ephesians chapter 6. So help us, Lord, and encourage us. Pray for Bethel. Thank you for them. Even today, I know Raphael is teaching over at Broad Street Baptist there, that Spanish church over there. Give him grace. But thank you so much for the leaders at Bethel. Thank you for what they're doing here. I just pray you would bless them. And thank you again for the Vacation Bible School, the 80 or so kids that came, that pray, God, keep working in their hearts. Let them never forget the things that you heard, they heard from you. But thank you again now for this time. Lead us here in our time of fellowship, Lord, this afternoon, the rest of this week. We pray this for your glory, in Jesus' name. That's right, Bruce isn't here. I got announcements, and I have no bulletin, but I think I sort of know in general there is going to be no Wednesday night meeting this week. Steve will be sharing on Jesus, our example, next week. Marsh and I are going. Mary will be there too. We'll be up in Newberry/Gainesville with our family this week, so pray for that time. And then the next Wednesday, we are going to start on Galatians on our Wednesday night. So I'm excited about that. So that will be our Bible study. So, okay, thank you.
Invite you to stand for our last two songs. Wasn't really thinking about it. Steve's talking about serving God in your old age, and the last two hymns are both about going to heaven. So we're not taking up a group right now, but we're probably not far away. It's good to have that attitude, though. But this, as Steve said, this earth's not our home. We're just passing through. And we got something much better in mind later on. So our first one is When We All Get to Heaven.
Will the toss of life repay? What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
All right. Steve said his first sermon was on the rapture. Okay, we're going to end with a song on the rapture because we're going to fly away. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to look, but it's going to be interesting. One day, Jesus is going to come back, and the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive and remain will go with Him to meet Him in the air.
Some glad morning when His love and love fly up there to a home on the celestial shore. I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away. Bye. Shall never end. I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away. Fly away, fly away.
God, with all my heart, glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness towards me is great. You delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Amen.